All right, welcome back to the Sliwa Show. We got Ryan Hollins, obviously played at UCLA, played 10 years in the NBA, now doing a ton of TV and radio. Ryan, thanks for taking some time and hopping on the show.
Well, man, anytime, brother.
We're here, Ryan. We're at the All-Star break. 53 games in, 29 games left for the Los Angeles Lakers. They sit at 41-12, five-game cushion in the Western Conference, if you look at the loss column. And obviously, first place in the West. Just give me your overall thoughts on the Lakers and what you're expecting in this back half of the schedule.
Man, I couldn't be more impressed with this coaching staff. And, you know, before you point to the players, it's the coach's job to help you buy in. Coach Holland, Vogel, and Kidd have been nothing short of amazing. And for a team that's normally really high ranked and high profile, the defensive end is the hardest part to get guys to buy into. And LeBron James has bought into defense. Anthony Davis, right now, my books and a lot of people's, is the defensive player of the year. And that's what has L.A. really playing well and on top. You know, the offense is going to be there. LeBron James is playing the point guard position, which obviously he had always been. But I think just him committing to the point guard position on paper is really helping with his longevity. There are no questions there, but I believe the Lakers are sitting really in a good spot. And, you know, ultimately you want that number one seed to pay off.
Ryan, when you say they're sitting in a great spot, what was your thoughts on the Lakers not making a move at the trade deadline? And really, you know, we'll see if anything else happens in the buyout market. But obviously, Darren Collison stayed retired. We haven't heard of really any other names, and we'll see what the Lakers end up doing. Were you disappointed, or did you think they were fine with or without any of these trades or the buyout market?
Well, I mean, we're really nitpicking at the point. At this point, I think it would be hard for them to make some real splashes and waves. It's funny, Kyle Kuzma had supposedly been on the trade market. I think that was more so just to humble him and let him know that no one player is bigger than the team. And, you know, we don't need to address, you know, kind of what his remarks and what he had done a little earlier. But I don't think it's a question of not having enough. You know, when you have LeBron James and Anthony Davis on the team, you should be able to go out and compete, if not win the championship. So I'm not going to go, you know, wild on them not being able to play or not making a move. I think of guys like Rajon Rondo, Avery Bradley, Danny Green. Those guys may not be excellent during the regular season, but guess what? Those are guys that have championship experience. So the Lakers have done a good job of putting the correct pieces that are going to play at the right moments. I mean, heck, even at Jared Dudley, I played with Jared, and I know what he brings to you in the playoffs. So you've got a group of guys whose best basketball is going to be down the line and not necessarily in the regular season.
Ryan, do you think that that's actually a great point? Because I think a lot of the times, and I do it myself, I say, all right, I'm comparing the Lakers to other teams, or I'm looking at the Clippers being stacked in wing defenders, players that can go up against LeBron and so forth. Do you think that maybe I'm undervaluing, like you just mentioned, some of these veterans, the Dwight Howards, the Avery Bradleys, the Danny Greens, the Rondos, that come postseason, their game goes to a different level?
Yeah, it's not your fault. We all become prisoner of the moment. But a guy like Rajon Rondo can go and win you a couple games in the playoffs. So think about the value. If Rajon Rondo does nothing else but wins you two or three playoff games by himself, or LeBron gets in foul trouble, or God knows what happens, tell me that his contract and value isn't worth it. It's all the way worth it, right? So ultimately, those guys are going to prevail later on. But I'm sorry, it's not going to be the shiny new trade or piece coming in. And I thought it was an intriguing move from the Clippers to go out and get Marcus Morris. I thought he was part of a bit of an arms race, and I didn't think the Clippers needed him at all. And I felt like it was just the Clippers keeping Marcus Morris from the Lakers. Now, it's not the end of the world, ultimately, but I was kind of really intrigued by Ian and Collison. So it's almost like the Clippers are just playing keep away with that point.
Oh, no, I think there's definitely something to that. Ryan Hollins hopping on the Sliwa Show. I definitely think there's something to that, Ryan, where, you know, the Clippers, sometimes the best offense is playing defense, and I thought the Clippers did that when they went out and tried to get Marcus Morris and then eventually landed him. Let's stay with the Lakers and the Clippers for a quick second. I think it's safe to say, of course, anything can happen, but most are going to expect the Lakers and the Clippers in a showdown at some point in the playoffs. Hopefully it's in the Western Conference Finals. We'll see how the seedings all end up. But just to get your thoughts, your opinion, how do you look at these two teams right now? If they're going up in a seven-game set, who do you think has the advantage?
I'm going to be honest, Alan. I would take the Clippers because they have a number of guys that can go out and guard LeBron James. It's not too often that we see LeBron in a situation where he can't just ultimately will his way to a bucket anytime on the floor. Mm-hmm. I think LeBron is really going to have to evolve and change the game if he's going to be successful against Kawhi Leonard, Paul George, and those guys, just because it's going to have to be the mental game that he's going to have to win. And you're going to have to see LeBron not just on one side, but on both sides of the basketball. He's going to have to take the challenge of guarding Kawhi Leonard and the scoring load makers if they're going to have a shot. Now, I'll be honest, Alan, I'm a Pasadena guy, an L.A. guy, and in my heart of hearts, the team I'm pulling for is L.A. Mm-hmm. I want to see this thing done for Kobe Bryant. I want to see it done for my city. We're still in mourning, Alan. I know you feel it too, man. I think just there would be nothing better, but ultimately I still give the advantage to the Clippers. But I want nothing more than to see it done for the city and for Kobe Bryant and his family.
No, listen, look, and I appreciate your honesty. I mean, that's the thing. I think you can always have an opinion on what we think when it comes to sports, but obviously real life is real life, and that's just completely different and much more important than anything that we're doing at Staples Center or across the street here. But Ryan, I'll get your thoughts on this as well. One of the things you mentioned when you talk about the Lakers and the Clippers, Anthony Davis, we know how great AD has been this season, and you talked about right now he'd be the leader for Defensive Player of the Year. Come postseason, AD has really never been under the spotlight like he's going to be in a Los Angeles Lakers jersey. I want to get your thoughts on how much better even AD has to be come postseason, because like you just mentioned, the Clippers might have an edge on the Lakers, or if you get to the finals, you're playing Giannis and the Milwaukee Bucks. What are you expecting from AD since he's never been in this position before? I'm not saying he hasn't made the playoffs, but this much of a spotlight and this much expectations on the Lakers, obviously we're going to be expecting a lot from AD.
Well, look at one of two things. We'll narrow them down to two exact things, and you can hit on it a little bit. He may have to be the guy who shadows Kawhi Leonard and gives him a tough night. He's got the length and athleticism to do it. Now, it's a little bit out of position, but that could be where he goes and makes his money, and that could be a strong edge if he can keep a guy like Kawhi Leonard from going out and getting his numbers. Let's say you make it by the Clippers. He's guarding Giannis out to the cupo and stays out of foul trouble. I will sacrifice every point that Anthony Davis could ever score in the NBA if he can nullify those guys. Hmm. And I know it may not be the sexiest job, but now we're talking about shifting momentum and saying, wow, you've taken Kawhi Leonard out of the equation. You've taken Paul George, one of those guys, out of the equation. And we know his natural position is power forward, but if he can slide up to the wing and really truly be a do-it-all guy and make things happen on the other end, I think that's where Anthony Davis truly earns his money. Hmm. And the second thing, I think he's got to be able to go out and score from the elbows. Why is the elbows and why not the pinch post, where we've seen him a number of times? Because it's harder to double team a guy on the elbow. You see where they're coming from, and that's where you can win games from. I played alongside a guy by the name of Dirk Nowitzki who made a living. There's a play we used to call Ear. Ear, we'd catch it. Dirk would catch on the elbow. Everybody would clear out. You couldn't double him, he'd go to work. Many game winners from that point, because LeBron James is going to be help. We're calling for LeBron to defend more, distribute more, and do everything. But guess what? He's going to need help from AD in the playmaking department.
Ryan, final question. And by the way, that's great observation. I love the examples you gave of Dirk right there, too. But final question. For the Lakers to become the Lakers, from Kuzma's perspective, what do you want to see from Kuz? And I want it to be realistic, because maybe my expectations were unrealistic on Kuz. But what's realistic the rest of the way for Kuzma as we get closer to the playoffs and then in the postseason?
So the one thing Kuzma does, and why he stayed, in my opinion, over Brandon Ingram, he's a better fit with LeBron James. I don't need to talk about him shutting his mouth. That just kind of goes without being said. But if he comes in the second unit, he's got to be a guy, and hear me, Alan, and quote me on this. We'll probably revisit this later. He has to destroy his one-on-one matchups. Hmm. He has to be unguardable one-on-one to the point where the other team or the opposing squad has to send a double team at him. now we're cooking. Now we're talking about a Kyle Kuzma who's living up to every single expectation. Not to mention on the defensive end of the floor, he's standing too upright and he's not in a defensive stance. He's got to get in a stance, slide his feet, and be an excellent defender. We can't just slide him over to guard the center because that didn't work. You can't just put him on the small forwards, okay, because that didn't work. He's got to be versatile. He's got to be willing to guard 1 through 5, and he's got to commit to it. Right now, he's standing completely too upright.
Ryan, great stuff as always, man. I appreciate you doing this. Always appreciate your insight.
Oh, man, had a blast, brother. Anytime you need me, man. Appreciate it, brother.
All right, Ryan, thank you very much, man.
All right, we'll do this. Coming up next here, I want to do this on the Lakers and the Clippers. So Ryan Hollins had a thought right there. There's been so much hype about the Clippers. I feel like probably more hype about the Clippers. I think we're giving them too much respect. What have the Clippers done? You know, honestly, like when I think about this, and I've fallen into this trap as well, I have too much hype over the Clippers. And that's obviously got to be something that, you know, we'll continue to talk about. Stay right here. This is the Sliwa Show on 710 ESPN. All right, so are we hyping up the Clippers too much? And I've fallen into this trap as well. I've done a lot of shows leading up to the deadline talking about, all right, the Lakers, we got to do something before the NBA trade deadline. And I still believe that. I felt like the rich get richer, get greedy. That's what I was thinking about, you know, leading up to the trade deadline. But this is what I want to talk about. There is a lot of chatter and a lot of conversation about the Clippers. And the conversation is, okay, they're deep. They got a lot of good players. Doc Rivers is has an NBA championship as a head coach. We know Steve Ballmer and his pockets, how deep they are. Not that all of that really matters because there is there's a cap in the NBA. But it more has to do with where he's spending his money in the front office and scouts and everything else. But this is what I'll say about the Clippers. What have they proven yet? Why are they being so hyped up? What have they proven? Because this is what I've seen so far from the Clippers, who, by the way, have lost 3 of their last 4 games, have 18 losses compared to the Lakers' 12 losses. Kawhi has played 42 games out of 55. Paul George has played 34 out of 55. I don't think there's a definitive role of who finishes games for the Los Angeles Clippers. And I'm not saying they don't have options. I'm not saying they don't have talent. I'm not saying they don't have depth. What I'm saying is there's just as many questions to the Clippers as any other of these upper echelon teams. Okay, the Lakers have questions. Who's going to be there on a consistent basis as a role player? That's a question for the Lakers, right? You're not questioning if Anthony Davis and LeBron James can lead a team to an NBA championship, because if you don't think they can, you're not watching enough basketball. But with the Clippers, there's question marks there too. We have no idea if what the Clippers have put together is going to work. We honestly don't. And I'm not sitting here trying to tell you that what the Lakers have is 100% going to work. But last I checked on the Clippers as well, there's a lot of ingredients. I'm still kind of trying to figure out what is their identity. The one thing I could tell you about the Lakers, if you're comparing the Los Angeles Lakers and the Los Angeles Clippers, this is the one thing I could tell you about the Lakers. We have more of an idea what the Lakers have than we do the Clippers. I know what these role players, I know what Avery Bradley is. I know what Dwight Howard is. I know what Rondo is. I hope he's playoff Rondo in the playoffs. I know what Danny Green is. I can kind of keep KCP. I know who he is. I can go up and down that list. And then if we're talking about stars, star power, let's not have too much of a conversation about that. We know where LeBron James and Anthony Davis are compared to Kawhi Leonard and Paul George. There's a difference there. Let's not try and put those two together and say which duo or which two stars are better than the other. No, we have that answer. But there's a lot of conversation, I feel like, going around when it comes to the Clippers of, I don't want to say people are just crowning them champions, but there's a lot of conversation about the Clippers where everybody is just assuming that everything is just going to work perfectly. There's no guarantee to that either. I feel like we're hyping the Clippers up too much. I feel like the league is hyping up the Clippers too much. They still haven't accomplished anything either. And I don't want to bring health into it because any team can get healthy. Of course, that's going to change the dynamic. But it's not like Paul George and Kawhi Leonard are playing together every single night. It's not like when these two guys, you can sit back and say, well, they've played up to this point 50 games together. I don't really even know what Kawhi Leonard and Paul George are together. I know they got dogs. I know they have an incredible bench with Lou Williams, Landry Shamet, and Montrezl Harrell. But I don't know if it all is going to work. You know what I mean? Like, you could have a ton of really good ingredients, but it doesn't mean if you put them all together, they're going to taste good. It's going to make for a good meal. At least with the Lakers, I feel like we know exactly what we got. We know if we're going to win, this is the way it's going to happen. But I have this, you know, I guess this has happened to me over the last couple of days or so. There's been so much hype around the Clippers that it's just already a proven commodity, and that when it comes postseason, that's the team to beat. But I kind of got to sit back here and ask the question, why are we putting so much hype around the Clippers? What have they proven this year to deserve the hype? What, because they beat the Lakers on December 25th by one possession at Staples Center? Now, I'm not here to tell you that I'm happy that, you know, if the Lakers beat the Clippers on that night, does that change everything? I don't know if it does. But I will say that you got another matchup against the Clippers coming. You got more time to kind of figure things out. And the Lakers, you know, by far have the best record in the Western Conference right now. I'll ask LA, are we hyping up the Clippers too much? Phone number is 877-710-ESPN. Your guys' phone calls when we come back. Stay right here. This is the Sliwa Show on 710 ESPN. I'm telling you right now. Bottle service and waiting in line.
What are we getting? Tequila, vodka, whiskey?
I'll do a bourbon.
Ooh, a bourbon.
Do a nice bourbon.
Nice bourbon on the rocks.
No, we are not going to the club. Nobody's going to the club. It was a joke, and then it became a promo.
And now it's a bit.
So now I got to watch everything I say on this show. Because it will be turned against me. The Sliwa After Dark thing, that stuff's
cool. Why are you saying this like you're surprised?
That's a good point.
You should know we're on a radio show.
Yep.
Whatever we say will equally be turned around us.
Well,
and
I
made
thought,
a promo.
I thought
what
would be
rejoin.
Made out of a promo is a good topic that we have, not a topic that has nothing
a
to do with
a promo is vast.
All right. Vast. So now I know. Look, I want to hit on this, and I want to hear from LA on this. I feel like there's this momentum and this hype right now going to the Clippers that is the right word, unwarranted. This is what I mean by this, all right? 877-710-ESPN if you want to be a part of the broadcast. This is what I feel. I feel like, yes, the Clippers have a fantastic team on paper. Yes, I was the one barking around up to the trade deadline. Can we get Morris before they do? Because they don't need Morris. We need Morris, right? So there was part of that conversation that obviously I was having on Lakers Talk and on this show. But here's also the reality. What have they done? I'm sorry. What have they done this year? And if you're just going to point to the first game of the year where, or if you're just going to point to the first two games that the Lakers and the Clippers have faced each other, where I think the first game, nobody would have really took too much stock out of it. But that second game on December 25th, I'm not telling you that we shouldn't have won. I'm not saying that we weren't up 15 points. I'm not trying to make the argument that the Lakers didn't choke away that lead in the fourth quarter. It was a one-possession game. What have the Clippers deserved for all of it, or what have they done to have everybody kind of have the hype that they're the team to go through in the Western Conference? I know you guys know I'm Laker fans. I'm a Laker fan. I know everybody knows that. But I think there's too much hype right now to the Clippers. I really do. I heard Kellerman talking about this a couple days ago. He was talking about the Philadelphia 76ers. He's like, that stock is low. Buy it now. I feel like the Clippers stock is too high right now. Kawhi Leonard and Paul George have played a handful of games together this season. You've got a lot of pieces, but nobody knows if all those pieces are going to fit. You got a lot of different ingredients. Nobody knows if it's going to taste good at the end when you're done with that complete product. And I know you could say that about the Lakers. You could say that about other teams. But the one thing we have with the Los Angeles Lakers, we know what we got. We know what Anthony Davis is. We know what LeBron James is. We kind of have an idea of what our role players are, which, by the way, I'm going to tell you, our role players need to step up. They have to play better. They have to be... they have to kind of take their game to the next level, and the hope is that in this final 29 games of the season plus postseason they do, but I feel like there's too much hype on the Clippers right now. 877-710-ESPN. Let's start with Steve and La Habra. Steve, you're on 710-ESPN. Go ahead, bud.
Hey, how are you? Great show as always. As you know, I'm a Clipper fan, so I like the Lakers. Don't get me wrong. Grew up rooting for Magic, Kareem. I mean, long time, okay? Okay, what have the Clippers done this year? Okay, you may like it or not, but yes, they have beat the Lakers twice.
Mm-hmm.
What have they done this year? They got Morris, and the Lakers didn't. The Clippers are younger. The Clippers are, like you said, how many games Kawhi's played. They're saving their players.
Kawhi's played 42 out of 55 and PG 34 out of 55.
Right. And look, I think it's awesome that LeBron plays every game that he possibly can. Because if some 12-year-old kid in Atlanta or at Staples Center, you know, some single dad goes to take his son and daughter to go see LeBron James, I think it's amazing that LeBron James plays. And I think it's Bush League that Kawhi doesn't. I'll tell you right now, as a Clipper fan, I've gone to Clipper games, and he's not playing, and I'm pissed. You know, I'm a blue-collar guy, and I spent a lot of money for those tickets, and I want to see him play. And I get really mad. But in saying that, they're resting them for the playoffs to win a championship. They're going to probably, I would say, maybe the last 10, 12 games have the team fully play together to gel, and Doc will figure it out. And that's another thing the Clippers have. They have Doc Rivers. Another thing the Clippers have is they have
Jerry West. So you don't think, Steve, you don't think it's overhyped at all, or you think it's exactly where it should be? Because I feel this last couple of weeks it's got to the point where it's not uncommon to hear a lot of people saying the championship's running through the Clippers.
Well, once they got Morris, once Jerry West got Morris, it made things a lot better. Not only did they keep him away from the Lakers, but they got him. We already talked about what he did in the game against the 76ers with Embiid. And once the playoffs start and they call less ticky-tack fouls, how he's going to be a great enforcer. And you didn't even mention Steve Ballmer, and he can only salary cap so much. But yes, he is wealthier than the Buss family. He's one of the wealthiest men in the world. So he can hire, you know, each guy could hire their own trainer. Instead of Kawhi having to pay for his trainer, Steve Ballmer could just put him on the payroll working for the Clippers. You know, he could do a lot of things like that that the Lakers can't, not just today, but also into the future. So are the Clippers overhyped? Yes, because they can't seem to find a way to beat Houston.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so if they have to play Houston in the playoffs, what's that going to be? And you don't know what Houston's going to be. You saw how they went small against the Lakers, and the Lakers like, okay, height.
And that's going to be, and that's going to be, Steve, and I appreciate you calling in. There's going to be, certain teams are just going to have certain matchups, right? So if the Lakers don't match up well against the Rockets or the Clippers, whatever the case is, Lakers have obviously done really well against the Nuggets. Maybe the Nuggets offer problems to another team. I think there's a little overhype here. And I'm guilty of it too. Because I was buying into some of this hype. And now I'm kind of sitting back. You know, I watched that game, Lakers and the Celtics, or Clippers and the Celtics yesterday. And it's not like that game swung me one way or the other. I know PG got pulled out of that game, had some tightness in his hamstring. But it's almost like, all right, everywhere I turn now, everybody's saying, well, it's the Clippers, it's the Clippers. What have they accomplished yet this year? It's not like that's a lock or a guarantee the way Kevin Durant and the Golden State Warriors were. A couple more phone calls here. Let's go to Marcelo in Reseda. You're on 710 ESPN. Go ahead.
Hey, what's going on, Alan? I think, like you said, on paper, the Clippers are a better team, but you got to look at it this way. The Lakers have been playing together for a...
You there, Marcelo? Marcelo hung up on himself. Marcel didn't like his point, and he hung up on himself.
You know what?
I like the start of where he was going. Marcel, call back. Call back. Jerry in Albuquerque. Jerry, appreciate you calling in. Go ahead, bud.
What's What's going on, man?
Just trying to figure out if the Clippers are overhyped here, or you think they're exactly as advertised.
Excuse me, kind of bear with me. I have a cold. I think they are. They're kind of overhyping the Clippers, man. They haven't had a whole season of gel together. PG, I guess he just went down. You saw the way the Celtics kind of handled him last night. And
it was a great game. You know, double overtime game. Yep.
So I'm just looking at this. And, you know, the chemistry of the Lakers, we've been playing our better ball. It seems like now that the All-Star break's over, we're going to get serious. And then the stretch run, we'll see how it goes.
Appreciate you calling in. Thank you, Jerry. Squeeze another call in here. Robert in Ontario. Robert, you're on 710 ESPN. What do you think? Overhyped or Clippers are as advertised?
Definitely overhyped. I mean, I'm not saying the Clippers aren't a good team. They're both great teams.
Mm-hmm.
But to say that the Lakers are well below them is wrong. Lakers were winning both of those games. The first game, first of all, it was the first game. Everybody was getting to know each other. And then the Christmas Day, that game
The Christmas Day game was a much better assessment of both teams than I think the first game.
Absolutely. And then the Lakers were leading both of those games in the third quarter and beginning of the fourth quarter. So to say that the Clippers, again, I'm not saying the Clippers aren't good. They're going to be a problem.
Of course they are. But at the same token, okay, the Lakers aren't going to be a problem. You know what I mean? So that's the part of it where I kind of have sat around these last couple of days. I'm scratching my head. I'm like, why are we talking so much about the Clippers when we really don't even know that much about this team? We really don't even know if those pieces are going to eventually fit, at least with the Lakers. We kind of know what we got every single night.
Absolutely. And if Kuzma comes to play like we know he can play and everybody fills their role, I'll take LeBron and Anthony Davis, which are the two better players of both teams, against anybody.
Appreciate you calling in, Robert. Phone number is 877-710-ESPN. LA, if you got more thoughts on this, if you want to, you know, maybe you think the Lakers are overhyped, but in my opinion, I think the Clippers are overhyped right now. I don't think, you know, what we've seen so far from that team. Of course they're going to be in the Western Conference Finals against the Lakers. That's if they're not a fourth seed and we end up facing them in the second round. Of course they're a team that can win an NBA championship. Nobody's questioning that. Of course the brilliant mind of Jerry West, that's a part of that franchise, bothers me and probably bothers every Laker fan out there because we know just how brilliant Jerry West is. There's no guarantee this whole thing is going to work. I'll tell you one thing that they have. They got wings. You know what they don't have? They don't have size. The one thing that the Lakers have, they got size. And we don't have wings, by the way. That's one of our weaknesses. And another thing, you know, they got these players that obviously are going to focus more on bully ball, but what is the identity of the Clippers? I don't feel like I know what the identity of the Clippers are. Jesse, if I said, describe the Los Angeles Clippers right now, what is their identity? Do you have an identity?
Kawhi Leonard and Paul George.
And PG's...
With Lou Williams coming off the bench.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, for the most part, that's it. They're like
Montrezl Harrell, fantastic player. Landry Shamet, he can shoot.
They're all
I don't know what their identity
players.
Is.
Yeah, but it's like, you know, when you're playing pickup ball, it's like that team that... I don't want to say the leftovers or the scraps... But they play like they are that. They have that mentality. Mm-hmm. Like they're the last guys that got picked on the team.
Well, that's the question. The question is, will that mesh or will it not? Put it this way. If you're the Lakers right now and you're sitting where you're at, you got this 6-game advantage over the Clippers in the loss column. That's number one. You're in a position right now that coming into the All-Star break, you got definitely have some games to prove. You got to go take care of the Milwaukee Bucks at home. You got to take care of the Boston Celtics at home, the Philadelphia 76ers. You got another matchup against the Clippers coming up in March. That is a very, very important game. But with all that said, I think the Clippers are too hyped right now. More of your guys' phone calls when we come back. This is the Sliwa Show on 710 ESPN. Joey's a comedian. Joey, what comedy club are you performing at tonight? Look at Joey sitting back right now in his car saying, that was me. It's the most anticipated title fight in recent history as undefeated heavyweight champion Deontay Wilder takes on 29-0 Tyson Fury in a rematch that the world has been waiting for, live on pay-per-view Saturday, February 22nd, 9 p.m. Eastern. Topic we had before we went to break, we're talking about if the Clippers are overhyped. Is there too much hype right now on the Clippers? I know I've watched the team, which I want to make sure that I say this. I want to say it properly. I'd be an idiot if I said Clippers don't have a shot at an NBA championship. Of course they do. I know that. You know that. Anybody who watches the NBA knows that. I'd be an idiot to say that the Clippers aren't talented, have players that, and have a team that, that can take them over the top and get through the Lakers and represent the Western Conference. But the point that I'm trying to make is there's a lot of unique pieces that are on that roster, and there's no guarantee that those pieces are going to work. So I think we should hold up a little bit on the Clippers bandwagon, which I feel like a lot of people are on that Clippers bandwagon right now. If you look at both franchises, the Lakers and the Clippers, it would take a shock that both of those teams aren't playing each other in the playoffs to get to the NBA Finals. It would be shocking. The only way that they don't play each other in the Western Conference Finals is if they face each other around earlier, and that's only if the Clippers end up top four or they end up in that fourth spot. When I look at the Lakers, I'm not saying that we don't have holes. We do. But there's no lock or guarantee that what the Clippers have done so far this season should just all of a sudden continue. We should put them on this pedestal and say, man, that's the team to go through. On paper, they got a lot. It doesn't mean it's going to work. It doesn't mean it's going to click. It doesn't mean that's going to be the squad that comes out of the Western Conference. TC in LA, what do you think? Too much hype on the Clippers, or they're as advertised?
Yeah, I think the Clippers are not overhyped, and mm-hmm. I want to share something with you, if I may.
Sure.
I don't know if you saw the Clipper game in Boston last night, where the referees just took that game from the Clippers. Lou Williams was fouled in the act of shooting. He hit the shot. It should have been a 4-point opportunity.
TC, I saw the play. TC, I saw the play personally. You know what I thought? I thought it was an offensive foul on Lou Williams. Offensive foul.
You would.
And a technical foul. No, I'm just playing. Okay, I'm just playing with you.
Okay. Now, I'm going to tell you something.
Mm-hmm.
You say all these parts the Clippers have.
Yeah.
Right? The Lakers
mm-hmm.
are a two-man team, LeBron and AD. And if anything happens to either one of them,
mm-hmm.
the Lakers are done.
But TC, you can say that about half the teams in the NBA.
Can you say that about the Clippers?
Yeah, you can.
The Clippers have only played, like, what, 20 games with Kawhi and Paul George together on the court? Mm-hmm. And let me ask you this.
But TC, let's not go away from that. Let's not go away from that. Because I'm not trying to make a case to you about the Lakers. What I'm saying is let's pump the brakes for a second on the Clippers. Let them prove some stuff, you know?
I think the brakes need to be pumped on the Lakers due to the fact that the Lakers have played more games against sub-500 teams than anybody in the whole league.
But I don't think people are overhyping the Lakers right now. I think they're overhyping the Clippers.
You know what? When you look at it come playoff time, mm-hmm. hey, Doc Rivers, he's a proven coach.
Mm-hmm.
Now they got Marcus Morris, somebody that the Lakers was trying to get.
I wish he was on the Lakers. I wish Marcus Morris was on the Lakers.
Let me ask you something.
Mm-hmm.
See, everybody thinks the Marcus Morris trade, you know what that was about?
It was about making sure that he didn't go on the Lakers.
No, that's about making sure that you have an extra body to put on LeBron and AD.
Sure.
With Paul George, and this is another thing.
Mm-hmm.
LeBron, when the playoffs come and they do play that seven-game series,
mm-hmm.
LeBron is going to have to guard either Kawhi Leonard or Paul George every time down the court. And he's going to run the point two, and he's going to get 30.
TC, I'm going to tell you this. I'm going to ask you this question. What's by far the best duo right now in the NBA? What is it? And you already said it.
You said LeBron and AD.
Okay. LeBron and Anthony Davis.
But that's it.
That's what the Lakers.
That's it.
That's what the Lakers are going to ride on. But that's not a small thing, TC. That's not a small thing. And I'm not telling you that because Lakers got Anthony Davis and LeBron James, they're guaranteed to win a championship, because they're not. And I know the importance of role players. What I'm trying to tell you is the Clippers got a lot of pieces I don't know if they fit, if they mix, because we haven't got a chance to see it yet this year.
Who's your third scorer?
Right now, it is probably KCP or Danny Green, because it's not going to be Kuzma.
Who's Danny Green and KCP?
Actually, it is technically Kuzma, because he averages more points than Danny Green and KCP.
What's going to happen when Kuzma's got to guard Kawhi Leonard or Paul George every night?
What's going to happen when any of the Clippers got to guard Anthony Davis?
Hey, they're going to put Montez Harrell on him. They're going to put,
okay.
Morris on him.
Okay.
Check out AD's numbers in the fourth quarter in the two games they played the Clippers.
I'm looking forward to that game coming up in March. And TC, you call anytime, all right, man? I appreciate you calling in. I like that kind of banter. I wish I had more kind of banter like that. But don't crown the Clippers. Don't tell me that the Lakers are overhyped. The Clippers, these last couple of weeks, that hype machine is going crazy. Let them prove it. Let them prove it first. They've lost three of their last four games. There's many of these games that everybody's not playing together. I don't know what the Clippers have. On paper, it looks great. I got no idea what it's going to taste like. You know? And that's my honest opinion. I'm not here trying to make an argument that the Lakers are going to go through the Clippers. All I'm trying to say is, there's a lot of chatter around the Clippers right now, and they still haven't proven anything. And we still haven't got a large sample size to see if it's really going to work or not. Lakers got work to do. I'm not trying to tell you that the Lakers don't have work to do. I know they got work to do. And I know coming back from the All-Star break, they got Boston, Milwaukee, Toronto, Philadelphia, the Clippers. There's going to be many teams that the Lakers have already lost to this year. They get another crack at again. And that's going to probably tell a lot more about the Lakers as well. Too much hype on the Clippers.
For that guy, I guess.
No, listen, hey, TC, I don't mind. I mean, if somebody can easily make an argument and say, what are you talking about? That's not too much hype on the Clippers. They are what they are. They're a good team. They got Kawhi, Doc. But, you know, someone can make that argument. What I'm saying is, all of a sudden, I feel like the league is starting to crown the Clippers champions. We haven't even seen that many games where they're all playing together.
And that goes back to the Lakers, because what's the main thing the Clippers have right now? They've beaten the Lakers twice.
Mm-hmm.
Take that away, all this hype's gone, because they're 1-1 or 0-2. The Lakers are the best win they have. Those two wins against the Lakers, the best win they have all season.
Lakers got some work to do. I'm not going to argue that by any stretch of the imagination. They definitely got some work to do. Let's do this when we come back. At 8:30, we always go a little extra local. Any local sports going on, we're going to update you on that. We'll talk about what's going on this weekend in the world of sports. Stay right here. More of the Sliwa Show coming up on 710 ESPN. All right, a little bit earlier today, Cody Bellinger addressed the Houston Astros and this cheating scandal. So if you haven't got a chance to hear it, and I know this has been kind of played, but I got a couple angles on this that I want to take, and I have a solution that I think can kind of start the trust process, the healing process, and the respect process of the Astros, who cheated their way to a 2017 title. Here's Cody Bellinger.
I thought the apologies were whatever. I thought Jim Crane's was weak. I thought Manfred's punishment was weak, giving him immunity. I mean, these guys were cheating for 3 years. You know, I think what people don't realize is Altuve stole an MVP from Judge in 17. Everyone knows they stole the ring from us. I know personally I lost respect for those guys. I think I would say everyone in the show in the big leagues lost respect for those guys. I don't know what human hits a walk-off home run against Aroldis Chapman to send your team to the World Series, and one has the thought to say, don't rip my jersey off, but two, go in the tunnel, change your shirt, and then come out and do your interview. Like, that makes no sense to me. It makes zero sense to me, because I know me. Gary Sanchez said yesterday, you can rip my shirt off, my pants off. I sent my team the World Series off for Aroldis Chapman in the ninth inning at home. You can do, you know, I'm going crazy.
Hi, that's Cody Bellinger right there. First of all, I love his honesty. I love the way he approached this thing. I love the way he called out Jim Crane's, who's the owner of the Houston Astros. Obviously, Manfred, who we talked a little bit earlier about. Rob Manfred, the commissioner of baseball, called him weak. Altuve stole the MVP from Judge. Houston stole a championship from the Los Angeles Dodgers. So let's just say he didn't hold back. And that's how it should be. And that's the approach all these players should take. They should continue to sacrifice, they should continue to highlight what the Astros have done and make sure this is something, you know, this is something that MLB can just kind of sweep under the rug and try and make it a non-story in the next week, 2 weeks, month, 3 months, whatever the case is. No, it's not okay what happened. This is the only solution that I could think of to kind of just get things moving in the right direction. Enough about the commissioner. Enough about what MLB baseball should do. Enough about all these other angles to take. There's only one franchise, personnel, players, and owner that we should be talking about. And the solution is this. All the Astros have to do is the right thing. That's it. That's all they have to do. And they haven't done the right thing yet. And the right thing is for Jose Altuve to hold a press conference and say, guys, listen, I had a couple more days to think about this. I was so stupid a couple days ago when I addressed the media. And I know what I did in 2017 was a facade. It was fake. I know what I accomplished in 2017 on a personal level. Everybody thinks I won the MVP. Guys, I cheated. I cheated. I don't deserve this MVP. MLB, I'm giving it back to you. I don't need MLB to come after me. I'm coming to MLB. Take this trophy back. Take all those stats, whatever I accomplished. I cheated in 2017. Take it back. I'm going to start with a clean slate coming up in 2020, and it's going to be up to me to repair my career and to improve everything else to try and get back to the name that he created, which, by the way, there's probably no chance for. Another person that can do the right thing. How about Jim Crane, the owner of the Houston Astros? Why doesn't he come out with a press conference? Why doesn't he say, look, the comments that I had yesterday, they were disingenuous. I think a lot of people don't believe what I said. I thought it was stupid when I said that it didn't impact the game. But I'm going to make right as best as I can. And the only way that I could think of making this right is giving back that World Series trophy. And he can have all the players behind him that were a part of that cheating scandal that are still on the Houston Astros standing behind him and everybody there with the same goal. Let's give back that World Series. Let's take down that banner. Let's start 2020 on a clean slate. We apologize. We're sorry. We actually mean it because what we stole, we're giving back. Why don't we do that to kind of start things off? Start that process of trying to find a way to respect those that you don't respect right now. Why don't we start with that? That's what the Astros should do. Do I believe the Astros are going to do it? Probably not. You know, the reality is, as much as I want to sit here and say that I think the Astros are going to do the right thing, I don't believe they're going to do the right thing. But that's what I feel like they should do. And I feel like if they did that, fans out there, by the way, whether you're a big baseball fan or you're not, you're following the story. Whether you care about the Astros or you don't, you're following the story or you're tied into it one way or the other. We know how LA's tied into it. LA's tied into it because they haven't won a World Series since 1988. And they came within one game in 2017 to bringing a championship to Los Angeles. And it's not that championships are uncommon in this city. The Lakers, we know, have a ton of them. Kings won in the last 10 years, I think a couple of them. You could look at MLS. You could look at, USC, UCLA. LA is accustomed to championships. But they haven't had one from the Dodgers since 1988, and we know just how big that fan base, how loyal that fan base is in Los Angeles for the Dodgers. Nobody's saying have the Astros give back that World Series and hand it to the Dodgers. No, no, no. Nobody's saying that. All I'm saying is give back what you stole. That process will start from there. Look into the cameras. Look directly. Speak into the mics. Man up, I guess you can say, if you're Jim Crane's, and come back and just say, look, I did not deserve this. We didn't deserve it. You guys take it back. Jess, I don't think it's going to happen. I really don't think, you know, something's going to change here. But that's the only thing I could think of to just start that process of saying, okay, you know what? These guys, they mean it. And obviously what they supposedly earned in 2017, they understand that they didn't earn it.
Yeah, we all know they didn't earn it. We all know they cheated. They know it. We know it. The players know it. My mom knows it. Your mom probably knows it.
No, it's true.
Sister knows it.
Absolutely.
But you said it. They absolutely 120% should do the right thing, but they won't.
Just do the right thing.
They are only sorry they got caught cheating. They're not sorry that they did it, because if they were, they would have remorsefully apologized then.
Karma, listen, man, I'm a firm believer of this, okay? I don't want to say karma is dangerous, but you got to be careful with karma.
Definitely. Karma is real. And
it's real both ways, right?
You do
good things, karma will come back and reward you.
Mm-hmm.
But man, you do some bad things and you're laying in
it's
your bed at night.
It's that bad juju that's just laying around and you don't know what's going to come. And you know that, it all goes back to
all of it's not a good feeling.
No
way any of these Astros players right now, by the way, it's so crazy that for, you know, almost 3 years or 2.5 years, whatever it was, they didn't get caught.
No.
And none of them had a problem with it.
No.
And they were trying to win the World Series last
year.
That's
what
I'm
saying. Like, yeah, they won the World Series in 17. Mm-hmm. They were in it last year. They got caught.
Everybody thought they'd beat the Nationals.
Yeah.
Right?
Oh, definitely.
Mm-hmm.
And now we're here. And now our Astros,
What if they won it last season too?
Oh, my God.
And then this came out after.
You know what? If that would have happened, I guarantee you the punishment would have been a lot severe.
You think it would have been higher? Supposedly they haven't been cheating since 2018. What moral high ground they took.
I mean,
we stopped cheating in 2018. Stop making a big deal about this.
I forgot what player said this. I think it was Carlos Correa who said it, that in the playoffs, we still tried it, but it just wasn't effective. But you did it. And you know you did it. Correa was the only one that sounded halfway remorseful. And it's nothing. Like, you did it. They totally tarnished game they supposedly loved to play.
If they thought they were going to do what they did yesterday and it was just going to kind of churn the page, man, I think they got another thing coming for them.
I
think it just added so much more fuel to the fire.
Definitely. Yeah, 100%. It's something that's not going to go away. It's not going to go away this season. It's not going to go away next season. It's not going to go away until
the stigma's going to be there.
It's always going to be there. It's always going to be there, and it's not going to go away until Jim Crane,
by the way,
he sells the team or gives it up or something.
You know, it's the same thing with, I don't know when Barry Bonds started doing steroids or Mark McGwire or any of these players, right? Mm-hmm. That's not to say they weren't already unbelievable athletes before they started using those performance-enhancing drugs. But when I look back at those players, that's what I remember.
Yeah, and that's
why. And you know that kills them.
Oh, definitely. And I mean, that's why these players aren't in the Hall of Fame.
Mm-hmm.
Barry Bonds, Mark McGwire, Sammy Sosa. These are the players, when I started watching baseball, these are the guys at the top of their game.
Yeah.
I mean, I didn't like them all because they weren't Dodgers, but you know, they were the guys on the opposite teams.
But you respected their craft.
Yeah, because you knew that whenever they stepped up to the plate, there was potential that they were going to hit it a long ball.
Mm-hmm.
And with Barry Bonds, it was more often than not always a long ball.
And this, you know, you have now a perception of these players, and it's not going anywhere for a while. Okay, they're cheaters.
Mm-hmm.
It's the most anticipated title fight in recent history as undefeated heavyweight champion Deontay Wilder takes on 29-0 Tyson Fury in a rematch that the world has been waiting for, live on pay-per-view, Saturday, February 22nd, 9 p.m. Eastern. Fantastic rematch there. Wilder and Fury, live on pay-per-view, Saturday, February 22nd, 9 p.m. Eastern. So we hit on a lot of different topics. And the one thing, you know, I did kind of like about this baseball topic, I was curious to see if there's a way that if the Astros did the right thing moving forward, if your view of them would change at all, if you would respect them just an ounce a little bit more than you did yesterday, if they did the right thing. I don't believe they're going to do the right thing. And I think it's also pretty clear that from the phone calls I took today, I don't think anything's going to really change anything, at least for now, right? Like, I think for now, fans are going to have a very bad taste in their mouth, especially in L.A.
Especially in L.A., and it's not going to change up until the season actually starts. Once we get underway and start playing baseball, that's when I think the everything will start shifting towards baseball.
Maybe the
but
story
it's not going to
change a little bit.
It will, but it's not going to go away.
All right, Dr. Clapper tomorrow morning, 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. If you miss any part of the show, download on the Lakers Talk podcast on Apple or iTunes and the ESPN app, by the way. Appreciate you guys all tuning in. You guys have a great weekend. This is the Sliwa Show on 710 ESPN.